Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Well, I don't know how your day is going, but here on Post Show Recaps, it's the worst day ever. That's right. It's the 24 Season 2 Recap Podcast here on Post Show Recaps. Talking Season 2, Episode 7, the 2 to 3 p.m. hour of Season 2. I'm Josh Wigler. This is Emily Fox. Oh, my God. She's in the trunk.
Oh, my God. He killed her.
Hey, first order of business, Emily, because I got to imagine we got a lot of ats. Two orders of business. One, Visalia, it's like halfway between L.A. and San Francisco.
Yeah, that's point of order number one.
Point of order number two, letter grade for last week's episode, Emily.
I gave it an A.
Okay, you gave it an A. Okay, yeah. So this week, Emily.
I'm giving this an A minus.
Oh,
an down to a 92.
What happened?
Maybe a 91.
Wait, what happened?
I don't know. It's just a lot of stupid logistics.
Yeah, but we didn't have any Miguel and Kim until we really got a lot of Miguel and Kim.
And boy, did we ever.
It's we like got a lot bruise. Of Miguel and Kim at the end. Guys, he killed her.
Oh, my God, he killed her.
Gary killed her. Oh, God, he killed Carla.
What a surprise.
And it doesn't look great for Miguel and Kim, who are driving in a, who are speeding in a stolen
vehicle.
They're
lucky that that cop didn't shoot them on the spot.
With a body in the trunk.
Yeah.
And poor Megan is in the backseat. What's going on?
Megan,
get back in the car.
Yeah, Megan was a lost cause at the beginning of this show. Like, you should have just let her go. Nothing was going to save Megan.
Oh, my God.
Not even years of therapy are going to get her through this.
It's going to be tough. So nope. Megan is forced back into the car. Unfortunately, the Carla is dead, and she's in the back of the trunk. You only get two scenes of Kim and Miguel in this episode, Emily.
And boy, are they doozies.
And it is still more than you need.
We don't want it.
We don't want that.
This is something I didn't ask for.
But a lot of other things going on in this episode. We're on the trip to Visalia. We're introducing a couple of new characters. George Mason gets to hang out with his son, John, a.k.a. Vaughn of Community fame. Those tiny nipples, no confirmation.
What?
It's a thing, Emily. Okay. You haven't watched Community. Christian Olsen is on the show for a couple of scenes here. I don't think we ever see him again. But this is some sad George Mason
content.
Well,
he's basically told to take the money and run.
Oh, take the... Yeah, I won't do the whole song. There's the Sherry Palmer really moving in on Lynn. There's the return of Mike Novick. Novick is back in the house. So
he's looking more Dick Cheney-ish by the minute.
He does show up, and Emily had the line, "Oh, here I am. It's Dick Cheney, David."
Yeah, basically.
He does have a Cheney-esque vibe to him. So a lot going on. Let's get into it. When the episode begins, Miss Fox, we're at this airbase, and Nina shows up with Jack. She's like, he drugged Ed Miller. He drugged him. You gotta stop Jack. He's out of control. And this dude, whose name is Doug, not unlike the cat that's currently on Emily's lap.
Yeah, the way I've positioned the mic to be able to accommodate both the cat and this podcast is really incredible.
Cradling that little mountain lion in your lap right
he
now.
He might hit the mic. He's looked at me a few times and taken a swipe.
All right.
He's like, shh.
Apologies for the audio quality, folks, if it gets to it. This dude is named Doug, and he's like, yeah, I know that he drugged Ed Miller. Jack, what's up? And he and Jack do a secret handshake. They're like, Doug, my boy, what is up?
Is this the guy named Michael Cutlets?
No. Nina's trying to narc out Jack, but Doug isn't hearing it. He loves that Jack drugged Ed Miller. The dude named Michael Cutlets, not Cutlets, Cudlets.
sorry, but your name's Cutlet.
Abraham Ford of The Walking Dead fame and of so many other things is here on 24 playing a character named Rick Phillips.
Mm.
Rick Phillips. But you want to just call him Cutlets?
Sure. Just like Checkers.
Checkers. What's Checkers from again? Oh, yeah, that's MacGruber. Yeah. Ryan Felipe. Rick Felipe. Rick Phillips, a.k.a. I was going to call him Checkers as well. Should we call him Checkers?
No, okay. Cutlets.
Cutlets. Michael Cutlets, great actor and doing some great directing work on The Walking Dead as well. Anyway, he does not love that Jack drugged Ed Miller, this FBI guy.
Because he's like, I'm in the line of fire next. Are you going to drug me?
You going to drug me? So he tells Jack.
You going to drug me, Officer Bauer?
Yeah, let's not do this. And Jack says, stay out of it, Rick.
Mm.
Inside of 3 minutes, and this airplane is up in the air towards Visalia.
Only real life was like this.
Got off the ground fast, man. Meanwhile, at the Warner house, it's just pandemonium.
It's so dumb. I hate it.
It's pandemonium.
It smells.
Marie is pissed. Good job, Kate. You crushed Reza's parents in addition to Reza.
Now I'm going to get a tiny top to put over my crop top and leave.
And Kate says, what do you want? Reza could be involved with some bad people, Marie. Maybe even terrorists.
I can't. It's overly
We won't let
dramatic.
This hurt Dad.
It's so stupid.
Reza's mad and he's mad
he
about
is.
All of this stuff. And
I'm
Marie
mad
is
for
mad
everybody.
At them both. Yeah. And then Reza looks at Kate when Marie storms out of him. Nice work, Kate. Emily, you at this moment said, Kate sucks. She really does need her own life.
Yeah, she does.
In Oregon, at the complex, Mike Novick shows up and gives a big hug to Sherry Palmer. Sherry, you look beautiful as always, Sherry. Sherry espouses some wisdom because he asks, have you been, Sherry?
They talk so close. Well, they would have given each other COVID-19 in like 5 seconds.
It's been a challenging year, Mike. But what is it they always say? Learn from your mistakes. Grow from your misfortunes.
Mm.
And so Mike shows up and hangs out with Lynn. He goes into the table, gets a Lynn Kresge, and goes and talks to David. He says, what's up? So Sherry's here, huh? Should I attach any significance to that?
Well, he's also like, who the hell let her in?
Yeah.
Which is a really good question.
He's like, I did. He's like, David?
No, you didn't.
Now, historically, we talk about you as a character as one of the great presidents of all time, but is it time here
you
in the year...
You kind of suck at this.
Is it time here in the year 2022 to reevaluate whether or not your decisions are the best?
Yeah.
I gotta say, the worst day ever rewatched, sometimes David Palmer not looking great.
Mm.
And so he's happy that Mike is here, though. Mike has his little tiny briefcase. I got to take just
a... I thought you were going to say a tiny burrito.
And Mike is eating a tiny burrito in addition to the Lynn Kresge.
It is 2 o'clock.
And David's
Someone's
eyes are
eat.
Wide. He's like, oh, you eat a burrito and a cookie at the same time. You got to try it, David. He has a lot to catch Mike up on. So he says, for the time being, Mike, let's go to the OC. There's a lot to cover. And then California by Phantom Planet starts playing
oh
in the background.
God.
At 2:08, Michelle is telling George about Ed Miller getting drugged by Jack Bauer. And George basically does like the ASCII art of like the shrugging shoulder, being like, what can I say? Jack's a little crazy,
yeah.
But he gets results.
Yeah.
He goes into his office and looks at his shirt, and George Mason's already developing sores on his armpits.
Not looking great, Bob.
Yeah. Just on that estimate of a day or a week,
it's looking like a day.
It is looking like
and
it's a day.
And it's a classic 24 move to give somebody 24 hours to live.
It's looking like a day. Meanwhile, in Oregon, Mike is getting in on this. We didn't really give this enough due in the last episode of the podcast, but Sherry's basically like, there's a cabal, a conspiracy against you, David. and cabaled Mike Novick is saying, listen, just because Sherry says it's true doesn't mean that it is. She's got good sources, but a conspiracy, David.
I can, like, feel the eye roll of, like, collective people in this shot. Just being like, why did we write this?
There are a couple of eye rolls in this episode that are very, very funny. Mm-hmm. Mike says he's going to look into this. But right now, you got to focus on L.A., David. You can't start getting, you know, wrapped up in conspiracy. There's bigger things at play.
That's so true.
But David tells Mike, talk to Roger Stanton. He and Eric Rayburn were bros, and Eric Rayburn's off the show, but Roger's here now, and it's possible that there was some kind of scheduling issue with the actor, and they're just offloading all of Eric's storyline onto Harris Yulin.
Is that true?
The Scolari brothers. I don't know. It's a theory. It's just a theory. You know, I'm just
that guy was
crafting
like,
here,
I hate
Emily.
Season two. This is a bad plot line for me. I'm out.
Listen, Emily, season one was definitely the season to like really protect the spoilers on. Not that there aren't spoilers to protect here in season two, but perhaps I'm
there's
flying.
A big bloody one in a trunk coming up.
Perhaps I'm flying a little looser here with season two than I did in season one. But I don't know. It's a theory, Emily. It's a theory.
All right.
Meanwhile, on the airplane's going to land in 10 minutes, and Jack is roughing up Nina. Tell me where Fahin is. And Cutlets doesn't like that. Lay your hands off her. She's a person too. You know, she's got rights as a human being. Let's get her dressed up like a civilian because we're going to throw her into an undercover assignment. And Jack's like, all right, but she gets naked in the cabin in front of all of us. So she does because
let's
she's not allowed to leave the sight of Jack Bauer.
Yeah, and then she has, like, a really cool, like, chic pendant necklace that's...
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the scar. She's got a really cool scar on her back. No. It's definitely what I thought you were saying. She does have scars on her back. I don't know if Jack knew about this from their time together in Santa Barbara.
Well, he doesn't know about...
Remember that? Remember that weekend in Santa Barbara, Emily?
How could I forget?
How could any of us forget? At 2:17, George Mason places a call to an employee of Juice and Joe, a juice and coffee truck operated by one John Mason, a.k.a. Vaughn of the Tiny Nipples of Community fame. Eric Christian Olsen of Beer Fest. Emily, what is it, Grandpapa?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Will Forte, basically saying, hey, John, I got to talk to you. And he's like, I don't want to talk to you, Dad. We haven't talked in 3 years.
2 years.
3 years, he says.
Two.
He says three.
He says it's been 2 years.
Oh, my God. I thought it was three. I'm pretty sure it's three.
Maybe you have a typo.
Let's spend a lot of time debating this. The clock is running out. 2 or 3 years.
24 months or 36?
You know what? Let's give it to you. 2 years. Let's say it's 2 years.
I like the number 24 in this particular instance.
2 years. And George says, I know I'm not your favorite person, but I got to see you today. And he's like, because I'm dying and I kind of want to see you before I die. And he hangs up on him. He hangs up on his dad. And George's like, God damn it. I'm going to have to put him under arrest. Anyway, so we're in Visalia. And Jack, they finally find out from Nina now that they've landed where Fahin is. And she says, he's at a thrift shop. They're like, of course, Visalia, famous for thrift shops. So they're going to go, they're going to unleash her upon the thrift store. They're going to use her for stuff is basically what's going to happen here. And they're dressing her up. They give her that amulet. It's a camera amulet.
The camulet.
A camulet. Thank you. That's it. In Oregon, Mike Novick's like, hey, Roger. Roger's like, hey, Mike, I'd love to talk to you, but I'm pretty busy. Mike goes, well, the president has asked me to assert myself into your day, which is a very powerful thing to say. Elsewhere, Lynn is telling David Palmer, oh, yeah, by the way, did you know that Jack Bauer is still involved in all of this? He's hanging out with Nina Myers. And David Palmer, the president of the United States, is like, well, that's not good.
Yeah. And I was like, do they not brief him on all of these things?
Yeah,
like,
he's the president. He's got a lot going on. All right, we're 12 minutes in. In Visalia, Nina says, all right, well, we're going to have to be really careful about this thrift store operation. Fahin knows all of our protocols. And the FBI guys are like, how does he know? And Jack goes, because she gave them to him. Because she's a traitor and awful. Awful
yep,
person.
Pretty
so,
much.
So they're going to unleash Nina. They're going to have Nina go into the thrift store. And she said that, well, that's going to be a problem. He thinks I'm in jail. And Jack's like, well, then lie about it. And Nina says, I can't lie about that. Like, what do I tell him? He's going to kill me and then he's going to turn the gun on himself.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack says, we'll make sure he doesn't turn the gun on himself.
Yikes.
Wow. At 2:28, Tony Almeida calls CTU. He catches George up on everything that's going on. George, it's Tony. Can you speak up, Tony? Sorry. Is this any better? Bring in Reza and Bob. On what charge? I don't care if it's jaywalking, but bring them in. Let's separate them and turn up the heat. And now we know what that means, Emily. Turn up the heat. We're going to turn up the thermostat. I didn't know. Now I do.
So embarrassing that you haven't been in more interrogation situations.
I really got to get my game sharp on the interrogation situation. So then Tony's like, all right, well, so you guys all have to come to CTU. And I'm not going to arrest you, but I will if I have to. So just let's do this the easy way. And Reza is kind of freaking out. But Bob Warner's like, Reza, do this for me, okay?
Which probably means that Bob's like, it's all going according to plan.
There's like sort of a quality, like the way that Bob looks at Reza and the way that Reza looks back at Bob, it has sort of this really intense, like, I don't know, it's really, it's like the Sith Lord and his apprentice.
Yeah.
That's a Star Wars. It's like Palpatine Vader type stuff, right?
Yeah, it's got, there's some meat on those bones. We want to chew it off.
Sure
do. Is
that
a weird thing to say?
That's what they say in Star Wars. when a Sith is found, they say, we got to chew the meat off that bone. Otherwise, there's going to be a huge disturbance in the Force.
Mm.
That's what they say. Marie Warner says, well, I'm coming too. You've ruined my wedding day. I'm not letting you separate me from my fiance. Bob tells Kate, call everybody. Tell them that the wedding has been postponed. Also, call my tax attorney. He'll know what to do. Emily notes that a cameraman hits a plant in this scene.
He's like zooming out.
And you can see the plant shaking.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
So that's what's going on there. There's a meeting in Oregon about Sherry and Lynn Kresge get to meet each other. They don't seem to like each other.
Sherry's just like a straight up bitch to her.
She really is. And Roger's apparently been having these secret meetings. And we got to know more about the secret meetings. And Lynn's like, yeah, I'm aware of those. It's for this bipartisan deal for a vote in 2 months. I haven't told you about
bipartisanship?
It.
Bipartisanship? What's that?
24 is often very unrealistic. I've got very detailed records of those meetings. Can we be focusing on the nuclear bomb and not this cabal that we keep talking about?
Yeah.
Sherry and Lynn then have a moment where Sherry says, you seem like a competent woman. Let me explain something to you very clearly.
F you.
And Lynn goes, okay. You see her roll her eyes when Sherry asks her to talk. It's pretty great. And she says, David didn't get here by himself. He's been surrounded by competent people his entire life, like you. Not the best, but the most recent. Have some respect for those of us who put him in office, Lynn. And then she takes a Lynn Kresge cookie and sends her on her way.
But David overheard this, which is great.
He overhears it. Sherry?
What?
Sherry? What?
But it's just so annoying. I'm over this. Yeah. I don't need the dramatics of this. It's a hard enough day as is.
Not quite 10 minutes have passed since the Warners have been sent off to CTU that Kate has clearly not called all of the wedding guests, and instead
maybe
is calling a private eye.
Maybe she sent a group email.
It's 2002,
Emily.
So
I'm kidding.
I don't know about that.
She would have to call everybody, and that seems like it sucks.
Yeah, it does. It's a bad job, but like, it's probably something that she ought to do, you know? Because otherwise, what? Is everyone going to show up? And they're like, so where's the wedding?
You know what, though? You're not going to get your catering money back. You might as well just have a party.
I guess. Big tense action scene happens here, Emily, as we are in Visalia. We're at the thrift store. They send Nina in. I would like to say I caught the dead fingernail. Jack is making a phone call to Michelle. You see that little dead pinky nail?
Nice.
So here we are.
Did you dial with that?
7 episodes in. I'm miming out. You can't see it because it's a podcast. Dialing numbers with my pinky.
With your pinky? Very dexterous.
Dexter New Bloodis. That show is over. We had a great time podcasting about it here on Post Show Recaps. If you
watch, we're just getting started.
Dexter New Blood. Go and check it out. We're just getting started with the thrift store as Nina is coming in to talk to Faheen, and the woman who runs it is like, oh, God, okay. I'm trying to pretend that he's not here, but clearly you are someone that he wants to talk to.
Yeah.
While Nina is waiting to be introduced to Faheen, she swipes a $50 gift certificate
off of the table.
Off of the table.
You know, one of those impulse buys near the cash register.
Do thrift stores have $50 gift certificates? Is this like an antique? An antique gift certificate?
Maybe this is a higher end one. You don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea.
But it's impressive that they have it in a card form in 2002. I feel like that was just starting to happen.
Yeah, she's got the $50 gift certificate. We were speculating why that might be, Emily. And Nina, well, she's going to have the presidential pardon. She's going to need some money when she gets pardoned. They didn't say anything about cash.
Mm-hmm.
$50 at a thrift store can get you decently far. Anyway, there's static on Jack's monitor. She's talking to Faheen. No one can hear shit after a while. And so
well, thank God Michelle's on it.
She's on it, but even she can't hear it for a while. And so once the audio and the feed go dead, they decide it's time to rush the store. And so it's just a huge shootout. All of the employees at the store who are clearly working with Faheen because they're armed to the teeth. There's a shootout. There's a firefight. You hate it when I call it a firefight, but it's what's happening. And they rush in. And Faheen is nowhere to be found. I thought he
was unconscious on the floor.
Oh, he is. He's unconscious on the floor. And Nina is the one who's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Faheena is the portmanteau. And Nina's running and she's trying to get out of here. She's got a gun. But Jack finds her first and he pulls the gun on her. And it's very tense.
It's a tempting scenario because he could off her if he really wanted to. And he has every right to feel that level of anger and, you know, sort of. I don't know. Like, he has every right to take her out if he really wants to.
Revenge first.
Yeah. But he doesn't.
And you had mentioned, Emily, that you were afraid that Nina was going to get killed in this scene.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been an easy way to just, like, take her out, right?
Yeah.
But we've still got more work to do, clearly. The whole show does.
But he finds her, and, yeah, you can see the temptation in the scene. It's very tensely shot, where she stops. She's about to, like, shoot her way out. Like, she's about to shoot a lock on a gate. But Jack gets there first, puts the gun on her, and she, without even having to be asked, follows the protocol of what you're supposed to do when you are being arrested
and
because
you see
she
her,
has done this.
You see her, like, physically being, like, preparing herself to potentially get shot, right?
Because this could go that way,
but
it
then
seems like.
You see her be like, oh, my God, he's not going to kill me.
Yeah, but it's Jack where it's, like, on his face. One of the things that I love about Jack Bauer and the return of Nina Myers here is there was that scene last week where he's like, George, it worked. I'm interrogating her. This is great. You look at my face. No emotion. Look at her face. So much emotion. Clearly, I'm not going to do anything bad here. But who is, what's the truth here, right? What's the lie and what's the truth? Mm. Is the truth that this is all a tactic and he just wants to get Nina under his control and intimidate her and scare her? Or is the truth that, yeah, Nina's right. He's pretty tempted to just kill her. And you see Kiefer Sutherland plays it really well. There's some moments where you just don't know if Jack Bauer is so good at his job that he's, you know, actually able to put the country over his own need for revenge.
Right.
Or if he very authentically, legitimately, and understandably wants to kill the woman who killed his wife. So Kiefer plays it really well, but he does ultimately arrest her. Meanwhile, at CTU, George's son, Vaughn with the tiny nipples, gets brought in to the office.
And he's like, what the hell?
You're arresting me? This is really how you want to do this? And George says, I don't have a lot of time. The podcast is about to end, so I got to get this out pretty quickly. Remember how in season one, Jack shot me in the knee with a tranquilizer dart and told me that I have an offshore bank account that he knows about that he's going to tell people about? Well, let me give you the offshore bank account, because I'm going to die, John. I'm dying. And he's very sad. This is a very sad scene. It's a good scene.
It is a really good scene.
You got to get out of L.A. Go to Phoenix with your mom. And there's like this big showing of emotion. And Sandra Berkeley acts the shit out of it. And Eric Christian Olsen, for the one episode that he's in here, acts the shit out of it. He doesn't tell him he loves him, which made you sad.
Yeah, definitely.
He hugs him, though.
But he's going to replay this like in his mind for the rest of his life. So it's like good to get the right words out.
He hugs him. He tells him to go. He kind of old yellers him. Get out of here. You got to go. Leave this place. It's more important for him to be alive than for him to love him back.
I guess.
But when he's alone, George cries a lot. And
how could you not cry?
I do think it's great, though, because like we know George Mason to be an uber douche. And he is, you know, we're getting to see a totally different side of him now that he's confronted with his looming mortality.
Totally.
It's a great storyline. It's one of the best storylines of season two for sure.
And speaking of great storylines, let's go to Kim.
The episode ends with Miguel and Kim getting pulled over by this police officer who frankly is like pretty nice. He's like, you guys were speeding really fast.
And also, this isn't your car.
This isn't your car.
Who the hell is this little girl in the backseat? Probably not buckled up from what we can tell.
But I'm going to let you go with a warning, but
there's blood leaking out of the trunk.
And yeah, so it seems that when Gary confronted Carla a couple of episodes, he beat her to death and threw her in the trunk of his car.
Yeah.
Not great.
I mean, if you fly to Mexico City, you're never seen again.
I don't know. So it's not great. He's got the car and he killed Carla. They've got the car. They are in a bad situation. Megan could see her mom. This could all be really terrible. We will see how it plays out next week. Episode 8. You gave last week an A. You gave this one an A minus. Could next week be an A plus, Emily? We will see. We will find out. Anything else? Real quick. We're about to end.
Woo.
Okay. Just a quick... Ooh. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.